outdoors, coming on the airwaves, coming your way.
Hey now, we're outside indoors, beat on a buck on a snowy day.
Hey now, we're inside outdoors, baiting a hook and anchors away.
Baiting a hook and anchors away.
Baiting a hook and anchors away.
Inside Outdoors is brought to you from the beautiful rolling hills, forests, and lakes of southern Indiana. Produced in Bloomington and brought to you live every Saturday morning at 7 a.m. right here on your local community radio station, WFHB. Inside Outdoors features hosts Don Jordan, Buddy Bill Moser, and Rich Reardon, and gives you everything you need to know about the outdoors surrounding our local community, our state, and around our nation. With fishing, hunting, local and national outdoor news, the environment, natural resources, safety, issues in our community, and just down-home family fun, our goal is to inspire how to be a good steward of our precious natural resources. You can call into our show at 812-323-1200 and ask a question or tell us what's on your mind. So sit right back, get a cup of coffee, journey with us into the lakes and woods, and find out what our natural resources have to offer. If you miss the show, you can listen online at WFHB.org. Just go to the public affairs listing, and you'll find a podcast of our show at Inside Outdoors. This is WFHB Bloomington, Indiana, volunteer-powered community radio at 91.3 FM for South Central Indiana, also 98.1 in Bloomington, 100.7 in Brown County, 106.3 in Ellettsville, and online at WFHB.org.
Hey, good morning, everybody. By golly, glad everybody's up and listening this morning to Inside Outdoors with old Buddy Bill. I'm back in the saddle again for a while. Anyway.
Yeah, we're all back.
My gosh. Well, I tell you, last week, I don't know, I don't even know where you called or not. Something hit me, and I tell you what, I didn't care where I seen anybody or not.
Oh boy,
I was in bed, and that's where I stayed, and I don't know what hit me, and it wasn't my flu shot either. It didn't have nothing to do with it. Of course, we've had them flu shots, and they didn't bother us at all. But anyway, better introduce everybody here. I'm Buddy Bill myself. And we got somebody else down there. I don't know. There's two or three.
Well, I'll say I'm Rich Reardon, and I'm here.
There you go.
Yeah. Go ahead, Alan.
Okay. Alan Bronenberg here.
And I'm Don Jordan.
Jordan.
I'm here
Jordan.
Too.
Jordan.
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 Don. Yeah.
Don Jordan.
Hey, well, let me get started by saying we are 4 foot over normal pool on Lake Monroe right now.
Oh man, wow. I can believe that.
They shut the whole thing down because of the flooding down below us, according to Louisville.
Well, yeah,
it's all shut down, huh?
Yeah.
I believe
that it would be flooded. I should have come around that way this morning. I didn't come around that way. Yeah. Come in from the south, but I should have went down and seen how deep it was.
The tailwaters have been full for quite some time, even when they weren't letting a lot of water out. So, you know, it just was high. You can tell when they got it wide open, they got, looks like a rapids there, you know, but
right.
it was quiet, but it was completely full. I mean, it was like a foot or two from the top of the banks of the tailwaters. Uh-huh. It was that way all the way down into the Guthrie bottom. So I suspect that, we get another rain here and the Guthrie bottoms will be good and flooded here pretty soon.
You're probably right. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, boys, I drove cross country from here out towards Newark over in Greene County the morning after that rain. And I didn't get past Whitehall because there's a big highway department truck sitting sideways in the road with his lights blinking, and the road was flooded.
Oh,
and,
man.
I came back through there a few hours later and I was able to get through, but the water was, you know, it was up to the top of my wheels of my pickup truck.
Yeah.
And, you know, you had to go slow and make sure you stayed in the path.
The ground has been frozen solid, even after it's been warm here. I bet I could go out to the back field back there that stays in the shade of the woods, and I'll bet you it's still frozen straight on down. There might be a little crust of mud on the top, but for the most part, that dirt, that ground back there is still frozen. So all that water we had from melting snow just ran right off because
it
was too frozen to absorb it.
Well, I saw those pictures you posted of the bottoms there. Is that what you meant, that it was still frozen?
Yeah, it's been frozen everywhere. Yeah. I mean,
about
my
how,
land
how
all
deep,
of them frozen.
About how deep was it froze? Did you
I didn't check, Bill, but I drove my tractor with a load of firewood across it. And normally this time of year, I'd have a big muddy rut. It didn't even make tracks when I went across it. And that was after the snow was all gone by at least
pretty good,
3-4 days. Yeah, I'd say it's froze down at least a foot.
Yeah. You burn wood, do you?
Yeah, yeah.
Do you need any wood?
Bill, I got so much wood I can't even get to right now. It's not even funny.
Well, you can get to this.
Thought. Yeah, man.
Where's that, Bill?
Huh?
I burn firewood, too.
Well, help yourself.
Where is it?
It's all cut up and ready to go.
Oh, Lord.
Where is it?
Right here behind the house.
Behind your house?
Well, it's over at the end of the store is where it's at.
Yeah.
No kidding. What kind of wood is it?
It's a maple.
Maple?
I had two or three trees cut. They was climbing on, they was growing out over the roof. And I didn't like that, so I had them cut.
Yeah.
So I normally don't do that. But
soft maples? Hard maples?
Yeah, those old soft maples. Good wood, firewood. But
it'll burn.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it makes good firewood.
Yeah, I've got one of those maple trees. Going to have to come down, too. I just hate it, but. Big old maple trees that were planted when this house was, before this house was built. They're just coming to the end of their natural age.
Yeah.
Well, when you get ready, I'll give you the name of a guy who done mine. He done a darn good job. I'm well pleased with him.
Has he got a crane that he can go up and cut it with?
They've got a bucket truck. And,
Who is it?
Mike Vaughn.
Mike Vaughn.
Uh huh.
Okay. Well, I'll write that down.
I got his number here somewhere.
Okay.
But he might not want to give it over the radio.
Yeah.
Oh, well, okay.
I don't know.
He's in business. He probably won't mind.
Don, did you get your fireplace cleaned out well?
Yes, we got the chimney swift came a week ago today.
Yep.
Chimney swift sweeper and young fella and his girlfriend. And, you know, they were young and thin and vigorous.
Yeah.
And got up there on the roof. And the only thing wrong was the soot had glommed onto the cap on the chimney at the top.
Oh, yeah.
So much that no air was coming through at all. So, yeah, now it's drafting like a son of a gun, you know?
Yeah, good.
Did they climb down in it like Santa Claus?
No, it's one of those triple-lined stainless ones, and you'd have to be an awful skinny Santa to get down that, huh?
Well, I thought it was a masonry, and I thought maybe they climbed down in it like Santa Claus.
I had one like that in Wisconsin that they could have climbed down.
Uh-huh.
But they were thin, but they weren't thin enough to get down this stovepipe.
climb down this chimney and holler, ho, ho, ho.
Yep.
Ho, 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 to you too. Yes, sir.
Well, I'll tell you what, if you haven't priced a full masonry chimney that meets all the codes and actually makes sense to use, lately, you are in for a surprise. I'm surprised anybody puts in a full masonry chimney anymore. They are just eye-poppingly nosebleed expensive to put in one.
Well, I'm not surprised at that, the cost of anything anymore.
Yeah.
You know, geez, it's the chimney sweep price has gone up. Let's see. Last time I had him out here, it was $90.
Yeah.
This time it was $140.
Yeah.
And I gave him an extra $10 for it being cold and snowy.
Yeah.
You know?
Good man.
So $150 for what used to be 90, that's a pretty big increase in 2 years.
Yep.
So, you know, everything's going like that.
Lumber is going plumb out of sight.
Oh,
well, yeah, wow. That's
it's pitiful.
The Canadians and us have had this border thing going on up there because of the virus. You know, a lot of those companies can't ship lumber down here.
Well, and you know, so much of our best lumber goes to China anyway. I mean, all the good stuff goes to China. We get what's left over.
Well, I'd say that's probably right, unless you're buying locally.
Yeah, because they're going to pay them more. And you know what? We're getting the dregs, that's for sure.
Yep.
I don't know if you bought any lumber lately, but if you buy a dozen two-by-fours, you'd have to go through the entire bunk of two-by-fours to get 12 straight ones.
Yes, or without full of knots.
Yeah.
You know, just not
half-rotted, whatever.
Yep.
Like you said, we get the seconds.
Yep.
Thirds and fours.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, they're cutting some prime timber out of the Yellowwood National or State Forest over there. It looks like we ought to be able to get some of that.
Yeah, but we ain't getting none of it.
That's probably all going to New York or something.
I don't know where it does go. I know one of the boys that's hauling a lot of it, but I don't know. He takes it different places, and I don't know where it goes from there.
Well, they're going to take all the veneer stuff over to Edinburgh and, you know, do the veneer there. All the white oaks go on to that place over in Spencer that makes those barrels. They can't get enough white oak. And I'll tell you what, the price of white oak is just because of these barrel guys, they have ran the price of white oak through the roof. So,
and that's,
also the pallet guys, they like that white oak.
Yeah.
And there's a big veneer place up at Bill, right along the side of the highway. I know you've seen it.
Yeah. Where?
Went up 67 there.
Yeah.
You know, they got sprinklers out there to keep the logs wet. And all
wet
that.
All the time, yeah.
Yeah. Big outfit.
I know I was down in Davis County Metal yesterday, and he told me, he said, lumber's going plumb out of sight.
Yep.
Every day.
I tried to order an 8x8 10-foot tall treated post for corner post for my gate up here that I need to replace. And I went to three big box lumber stores and over to Black Lumber. None of them had it, of course. And two of the people told me they wouldn't even bother taking my order because they knew it would be more than 6 months before it came.
Yeah.
And the other one said, I'm going to tell you it's going to be 2 to 3 months, but I know it's not. So if you want me to order it, go ahead, but don't plan on it actually being here then. So not just,
ridiculous.
Yeah. And they wouldn't guarantee the price either. They wouldn't tell me what it's going to cost. No.
And
well,
it all started over this epidemic.
Yes, it did.
It all started over it, and I you know, I know a lot of people took clothes down and stuff, but Lord have mercy, you can't hardly buy groceries. You can't you can't buy lumber. Lumber is really hurting, but everything else is too. I don't understand that.
Well, I don't understand the lumber at all.
I do.
Well, yeah, I mean.
The Canadians are the major supplier of our lumber. You know, there's a lot of cutting around here, but our lumber comes from Canada. And the border's closed for all practical purposes for commerce because of the COVID virus.
Yeah.
They don't want any Americans coming in up there because we don't wear masks and our president didn't try to control the virus. And so they shut us off.
Well, Don, in Oregon and Washington, we've got a lot of American lumber coming out of there. All the Cook brothers have got, you know, tons of land up there that goes into Georgia Pacific mills. And we make a lot of our lumber here in America. I know a lot of it does come from Canada, but we still make a lot of lumber here. And first of all, the lumber is outdoors. It's an outdoor process. It's a mechanical process. It takes very few people anymore. So to think that it's all over COVID, I'm just not buying it because.
Well, as you said earlier, most of that stuff in the Pacific Northwest is going to China.
And that's
Japan,
the problem. There you go.
Not to us.
Yep.
We do have resources, but the good stuff doesn't come here. And that's the reason why we get this pine out of Canada. And well, there's some plenty of that, you know, not so hot pine coming out of the South too.
I bought a 2x6 because anymore to get a 2x4, you need to buy a 2x6 so that you can straighten it up and get a 2x4. And the 2x6 had bark on both edges. Now, I don't know how big of a tree, you know, you're looking at cutting up there, but if you had a 2x6 with bark remnants on both edges, I'd say you're probably cutting them a little too small.
Well, you know, they're cheating on that 20-year growth, probably cutting them at 15.
Or whenever, you know.
That's just big enough for one board.
Well, I got a neighbor here who's finally going to build a house next to me. And the last year they got the plans together, and they were told that the price of all the wood in that house had tripled, and that they were going to wait until maybe the price of lumber went back down. Yeah.
It won't come down.
No, I don't think it's going to come down very
much. It might come down a penny or two, but it's not going to come down.
It's not going back to what it was, never.
Nope. No, we've seen our best years, and things they're just not going to be the same as we know it.
No, I don't think you're looking at any $4 2x4s anymore. You're looking at $10 or $12 2x4s.
Yeah, it's going to be ridiculous.
Yep.
Yeah, well, maybe that'll slow down the building of apartments and downtown.
I don't know. I got the way they're building them around Bloomington. I don't think it's slowed nothing down.
I guess they're getting their lumber, eh?
Shoot, Don, they're not using lumber for that. Hell, they're using metal two-by-fours and
a lot of metal. Yeah,
a lot of metal.
I bet there's not a stick of wood in that building.
A lot of composition stuff.
Yep.
Which is all expensive as you can get. You know.
Oh yeah. Yeah, go try buying some high quality plywood right now. I was going to go buy some Baltic Birch 7-ply plywood, and you know you could get it for $38 for years. It was $74 when I went and looked at a sheet of it, and I'm going, I just turned around and went home. I was like, well, okay, well, I'll wait on that project for another day.
Was that 5/8 or was it something?
Three quarter 7-ply Baltic birch, you know, something you can make a cabinet out of and not have splinters all day long. That's just ridiculous.
Yeah, well, that's the top of the line kind of stuff too.
Yeah. So yeah.
That's what you gotta expect, I suppose.
Yep.
I can tell you it's not any cheaper up north where all the, you know, all those big national forests are that they harvest all the time.
Oh no.
They get the same stuff that we get. Yep. You know. And they're right there. I think the way to do it, if you want something special, like your post you were talking about,
there's plenty of
little sawmills around here, little out in the country, you know, farmers got their own little setups. Go out and, you know, find a tree on your place, have them come out and cut it down for you and haul it away and make your post.
Well, I would if I could get it treated.
Have them saw it for you.
If you don't treat it, you know, and, Don, they won't last 10 years.
I don't know that you will get anything anytime. My tip. Don's tip of the day.
Yeah. There you go, Rich.
Yeah, I was trying to say something, but my mic wasn't working. I was reading that because of the increase in lumber prices, that hemp can be formed into the same thing, into a 2x4 or whatever, and it's now becoming more and more feasible that could happen because of the price of it. It's always just been a price problem, and but now it's getting to the point where they can make, especially if you started to mass produce fields of hemp, you'd be able to start creating hemp products that would be going into building the way wood was.
You can make paper. You can make paper out of it. You can make fabric out of it.
Right.
Is that smoking hemp?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's not the kind you smoke.
No, it's not. It's not.
It's not the kind you want.
It's not the good kind. No.
It's not what you want, Bill.
Okay.
You want the other kind.
Okay.
Oh, they can make. They can make concrete blocks out of those. They're making all kinds of things out of hemp now.
Hey, I asked a old farmer out in Iowa when I was at Brian's, and he said, well, if you find the right one, he said, I could roll it on a horse and a high, one-handed on a horse and a high wind. He could roll up a, anyway.
Roll up a what?
If you found the right plant, because the hemp grows all out there, right? Because they used to raise it in, before World War II.
Oh, yeah. Well, that ditch weed you're talking about.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's the stuff you need for the making paper and making fiber products, because as I understand it, it's not worth smoking.
Yeah.
So you're not going to get any good pot from Northern Indiana, Bill.
No.
Oh, well, no. Okay.
But it is an amazing product. You can make things that are like plastic. You can make tubifores. You can make anything you want pretty much out of it. And it lasts a lot longer, too. It doesn't rot.
And you can get two crops a year in a little better climate than we got.
Maybe instead of 15 years, you know. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, it's an annual deal. And, you know, if you've ever had a hold of a piece of that stem or the big woody structure that becomes the, like almost tree-like.
Right.
It's some tough stuff.
Yeah,
you know, you can't tear it apart. You know, it's
until they pull the subsidies from corn and soybeans, we will never get anybody planting hemp. They will have to, it's rarely profitable to grow soybeans and corn, especially in this area, without the subsidies. There'd never be any. Body turn a profit on any of it, and when that changes, people go to it.
Price gets up on wood, and they start realizing that hemp was really cheap to grow. And they don't need Monsanto to grow hemp.
Right.
it'll just overwhelm the weeds.
Well, the problem is if it makes sense. If it makes sense, then they probably won't do it.
Yep.
Ah, well, you got a point there.
So, you know, there's that.
You got a point there. Yeah, well, hey, something came up last week that after I had to sign off, you guys mentioned the bass study where the bass were getting harder to catch and whatnot.
Yeah.
And I had gone ahead and read some other stuff about that. And, you know, it was really pretty amazing. And actually, I had written a story for Wisconsin Sportsman back in the 80s about showing fish something different if you wanted to catch, you know, bass, because they do fish, especially bass, because that's what most people are after. Muskies do this too, and well, all of them. After you've caught X number of fish on this same lure, you're not going to catch any more fish on that lure because they've seen it and they saw what happened to their buddies when they did it.
Right.
You know, and fish may not be the smartest things in the world, but they are not stupid either.
Yeah.
So showing them something different goes right along with this study they did. I don't know whether you went into that and saw how much trouble they took to actually figure this all out. But the final experiment, they had a series of ponds. It was probably at a fish hatchery someplace. And they put bass in these ponds. And the first thing they did, they went around and they fished one angler hour per pond, and they took all the fish that they caught, that'd be the easy catchers, and put them in a pond by themselves, right? And they did this for a month. And then the fish that were left in these other ponds, they put in the hard catchers pond. So they let them go for a year or so and came back and tested them. And sure enough, in the easy catcher's pond, they could catch them one right after another. But in the hard catcher's pond, they couldn't catch any.
Yeah.
You know, because the offspring of these hard catcher fish were even more hard to catch than the originals. And this is compounded in the bass tournament culture that we have now, in the bass fishing culture, by the catch and release. Factor where you're taking the fish that you know that get caught in the tournament, and you're theoretically putting them back in at the end of the tournament, but still about 15% of those fish die.
Yeah. I think you're fading on us, Don.
And not all bass that are caught are caught. So
they're coming and going, mostly going.
Yeah. And what's interesting is the trouble they took, because what you've got is essentially a controlled experiment.
That's what's going on. And
I mean, we rarely have controlled experiments in the wild. I mean, that's pretty rare when you go to that much trouble, and the results are so much more meaningful because you went to that trouble.
Yeah. Yes, they are more meaningful. Yeah. And
I think we keep losing Don. That's why.
Yeah, we're losing. He's coming and going. He's mostly gone.
Yeah.
Mostly gone. Hey, Bill, what are these guys using for bait now? I see fewer bait businesses around. What are these guys using on the lakes right now?
I'll be honest with you, no more than I've been around the lake since we closed. I don't know.
Yeah.
I really don't know. I there's not that many around to fish anymore around this area.
Yeah.
And I don't actually run into, I hardly run into anybody that actually fishes anymore.
Yeah.
Now there is some that's still fishing, but, as far as I don't know, I can't answer that.
Yeah. I mean, I just didn't know if they were, fishing with plugs and not using any live bait or what they were doing.
Well, of course, on bass and stuff like that, the bass fishermen are not using live bait, of course.
No.
Did you see that article about the shad?
They're out there. They've got crickets and night crawlers and red worms and stuff like that. And they're selling. You still have to have, or don't have to, but you still have night crawlers for catfish,
right?
And livers and. Stuff like that.
Yeah.
So you still have that. And I was trying to think, there's just nowhere on this side of the lake, on our side here, Alan.
No.
There's no place to buy bait.
No, I'm sure.
I don't know. What about that? What's down there at the top of the hill there at the dam? Is there a bait shop there anymore?
No, old Dan's. No, that went out. I don't know if it was one of his kids or grandkids or whatever. Somebody's just parking boats there. There's no gas. There's no store there. There's no nothing anymore.
No nothing there.
No. I don't think they've got bait up at Judah, up at Johnny's either. I could be wrong, but I don't remember seeing any bait up there. But that place is busier than can be.
Isn't it, though?
That's about the busiest place there is around me. And a lot of people, you can tell, are pulling boats in there to get gas. But I don't see them carry any bait there.
You can still get bait at Kleindorfer's. Minnows.
I saw a sign at Kleindorfer's the other day.
Yeah, that's what I say. He's got night crawlers, and he's got red worms. He's got crickets. In fact, I was just out there the other day talking to him, and we was talking about people buying crickets through the winter, and he couldn't understand it. There's a lot of people that's got little pet lizards and stuff like that, and they when we first started when fall hit. You stopped selling crickets. You didn't order no more. It was the end of it. And then after a few years, you got to getting some calls. And by the time, long before we ever closed up and retired, we were selling as many crickets in the winter as we was in the summer.
I'll be darned.
But due to the fact that a lot of little kids, little fellas has got them a pet. Lizard or something like that, and we'd sell the crickets by the tube just like they was going fishing.
I'll be darned.
But the thing of it is, we'd sell them by the tube. I don't remember now what it, I don't even remember now what dollar a tube, dollar and a half tube. I don't remember now. And if you went to the pet store, they charged you about 10 or 20 cents for a piece.
Sure.
Crickets.
10-cent cricket, eh?
There you go.
but we sold a lot of them. And like I say, on this side of the lake, if that place, Boat Haven, that's what I'm trying to think of.
Yeah, Dan.
Boat
Dan
Haven is closed. Yeah. There's nothing. Absolutely nothing.
Nope.
No, that's right.
And there nothing on this, this side of the lake. And there's only, one place on the other side.
Yeah.
Well, you could always drive down to Patoka and buy bait.
Oh,
they got several bait shops around there.
I'll bet they do.
Yeah,
but
they do.
Boy, around here they don't. This is a dead sea down here, and of course that's mostly because we don't have anybody that actually really promotes it and doesn't do anything. They only sit on their, blow off, and that's about all they get done.
Well, I get an activity list from the Lake Monroe activity lady every week, and it's stuff like trail hikes and things like that, and how
it
to
sure
make
is, Don.
A birdhouse. There is nothing about fishing.
No,
nothing
there's not.
About fishing or and, fish or anything else to do with the lake.
Right. And now that Rex Waters has retired and left, we don't have nobody.
Yeah.
Really to speak for the lake. And we just don't have nobody to promote it. And you know, Rex done what he could, but he was mostly in the upper end of the Stillwater and up in there where the geese and the ducks, and he was into that pretty heavy and hunting of stuff. He can only do so much.
But you know
it's
what?
A shame.
Anymore, you probably need a $30,000 boat and a bunch of equipment to get out and fish on Lake Monroe. I'm not aware of places where you could fish from. I mean, I know they do a little bit at Allen's Creek, but Allen's Creek got so busy down there with partiers, I'm sure the fishing's went to pieces.
There's plenty of places you can fish on Lake Monroe without having to deal with that, and mostly above the causeway. But also, up in Ramp Creek and Moore's Creek back in there, it's still fishable. And there are plenty of places up, like I say, above the causeway. I favor Saddle Creek and that area myself. Yeah.
There's a lot of good catfishing up in there and around Saddle Creek.
Yes, you can get some big channel catfish.
That's a pretty good catfish area up in there.
It's real good.
I know some big ones just come out of there.
There's some big crappie up in there. I hate to tell you this, boys, but there are, and that's the area where they planted all those fish structures here a couple of years ago, 200 some of them.
Yeah.
And that's all around that, out in there, out around the mouth of Salt Creek, and some of them pretty close to shore, all different depths. And if you see those on your locator, I'd fish them if I was you, because they got fish on them.
Yeah.
There's plenty of places to go.
Okay.
The problem is getting the boat in the competition with those 200 horsepower bass boats. You got lots of boat wakes and big boats, and it's a little unsafe maybe for an older couple with their little John boat trying to fight the waves and get in at cut right boat ramp.
Well, I guess I knew those were places to fish, but I guess the question is, can you get to them by land very easy? I mean, can you park your car, walk down and fish off the bank? I mean, I don't think there's many places around Monroe you can do that.
There's not many good places.
Right, that's right. There's some.
There's some places, but there's not, where you can get to with a car and where it's still open and normal pool, it's too low really for...
Yeah.
Very much cat fish
right.
to accumulate, but
you got to find those places on your own. I mean, I could tell you places that I've gone in the past, but you might not be able to go there now. But there's still trails going down to the lake in many places. You would be surprised. You can avoid private land, especially above the causeway. I keep coming back to that. But there are a few places you can go below the causeway too, especially on the south side of the lake.
Yeah.
Over in the National Forest.
Yeah.
So, you know, a lot of guys fish Lake Monroe and catch a lot of little fish and are very happy with them. Some people catch some nice fish and are very happy with them. It all depends on how much staying power you got, how good a fisherman you are, and how much time you want to spend on it. You know, you fish at night in the summertime, you're going to catch some fish. Get out there this time of year, you're going to catch some crappies.
Yeah.
As Bill knows, there are some places where there are some bigger crappies out in Lake Monroe.
There is some places, yes.
But you have to spend some time looking for them.
Sure.
And you can always go to Cataract. You know, Cataract, you can catch a boat full of crappies. And, don't mind a little short drive over to Cataract Lake. Monroe is still good for bass fishing. You know, if you're a bass fisherman.
Well, I think it's pretty clear that's the way it's been designed, to foster that that tournament fish type.
Well, when the shad came in, that was the end of the bluegill fishing. Lake Monroe used to have nice bluegill fishing.
Right.
It was right up there. You could catch 7-8 inch bluegill. Well, you don't catch those there anymore because the shad eat all their food. And the crappies kind of moved in, and so the fishery has changed quite a bit. And it does make it a fish for bass. A fishery for bass and wipers. You know, wipers do well down there.
Right.
And, they get big and they get fat and they hit hard and they fight hard. And if you want to get out, you got
catch them small ones. They're good eating.
Have a little bigger boat. Are than they? Dam.
Them. If you get a couple 3-pounder, I wouldn't want to eat nothing over that.
Yeah.
They're little strong and stuff, but the smaller ones, around 2 or 3 pound are good eating.
Well, I guess that's what I was kind of getting at in general. I mean, you know, most of those are lure fishes, right? I mean, what live bait fish are there left in Lake Monroe? I mean,
catfish.
Catfish. Well,
your catfish, bluegill, crappie.
Crappie.
They're still left.
Crappie like minnows.
Then you got your walleye.
There's a lot of crappie in there.
And I don't think there's any northern down here anymore, are they?
I haven't heard of anybody catching any
northern. Last one I saw was back in the early 80s, late 70s.
That's probably about the last one I've seen.
Yeah. I haven't even heard of too many walleye lately.
They put a few in there at the beginning.
Yeah.
Well, it is the time right now actually for walleyes, but people are still catching walleyes down there. Yeah. And there's some question there may be a little reproduction going on, but nobody knows for sure. And they're not really trying to find out too much. And we just get the leftover stocking in there now. We don't get the primo stocking stock that we used to get. We just get a little dribble of walleyes, but you know, people catch them.
Yeah.
You get out there and fish that lower end at night, you probably come home with 2 or 3.
Well, in the evening, that fellow that's got the 6 outriggers going, you know, across the old Salt Creek Channel out here in front of my place, that's what he's fishing for, is walleyes.
Right.
He's going, I've done this before. If you drive that way back and forth, you'll get to, 14, 18, 20, 22, 40, 50, 60, 70, when you go into the old channel, and evidently where that drops off right there is where he hits those walleyes when they're hitting. That's all he does is go back and forth across the old Salt Creek Channel there where it gets deep.
That's what a troller does.
Yep.
They go back and forth on the place they've caught fish before. It's a good way to catch fish, especially if you don't want to sit around and anchor and move and anchor and move, which is the way most people used to fish.
Yeah,
I don't know whether it's picked up any or not, but there wasn't very many that walleye fish down here.
Yeah, no.
They just wasn't very many.
There was a crowd of them that did, and I know a few of them, and you can see them out there, usually at night, you know, trolling.
Yep.
Those guys are after walleyes.
Well, I expect we'll be seeing them here soon. Once the leaves come up and it gets flooding up into the leaves, boy, that's, you know, when those leaves get submerged down there, they really, the boats start heading to the shorelines around here.
Well, on some other news.
Well, it'll be party time before long.
On some other news, did you see in there about the deer they've been finding with arrows in them down by Bryan Park?
Yeah.
That was in the paper this morning.
I saw something or heard something about that.
I didn't read it. I seen it.
There's been about 3 or 4 cases of people finding, mainly doe, but they were with arrows.
We lost you, Rich.
Well, that's the reason why they didn't usually allow bow hunting in urban areas. Because deer were running around with arrows sticking in them.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, the article this morning that I read, of course, I don't get the HT. I just look at it because I can't read it because I don't pay for it. But the headline was bow and arrow hunting legalized for deer in city of Bloomington.
Right.
So.
Right. That's what the story in the paper was about.
Yeah.
Well, it's a bad idea. It's bad PR for deer hunting. You know,
I would think it would be.
Some old lady's been feeding her deer for the last 25 years, sees her sweetheart run through the backyard with an arrow sticking through its neck. She's not going to be very happy.
She is not going to be happy.
So, yeah, I can see that. And,
well, was at Bryan Park, then they was coming off that Tarzan property then, wasn't they?
Yeah.
It was always in that.
There's a lot of deer there.
Yeah, they used to be. I guess they still are. But
Deer Park, I think they used to call it.
Yeah. From Renwick all the way over to Sayre Road is kind of where they're talking about there. So, and they were mentioning that heavily wooded area displaced a lot of deer there, and now they're coming back, and you know, nobody's got a solution for it.
Well, evidently somebody has.
Somebody has. That's
well,
right.
Somebody's hunting down there. That, you know, that's part of it too. I mean, it may be somebody out their backyard just because they're mad.
And
you know?
Don't kill them, you're only gonna get.
Yeah, that's an interesting question, Don. Deer do bow hunters actually drop?
If you're a proficient bow hunter, if you're proficient, you're going to drop every one you shoot. But, you know, there's a learning curve involved in that.
I think so.
I'd say these guys that are just now practicing on those deer down there at the old Tarzan property are probably not that proficient.
Yeah, that's pretty scary.
You're going to see a lot of the arrow deer running around. A lot of those deer will survive. A lot of them will have a slow death.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't think it's a very good idea. If you want to clear them out, well, open up a season, tell everybody to stay indoor and let them clear them out for a day or two.
Yeah, that's what I say. Clear them out and then go back to normal.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, that makes sense.
Makes too much sense. That won't happen.
Well, you know, right. And that's the problem. Why make one suffer? I mean, would you like to suffer?
No, it's a terrible idea.
Like to suffer? No.
It's
so why make
idea.
An animal that can't protect itself suffer because of you? I have a little, I mean, I like deer. I eat deer. And I used to hunt deer. I don't much anymore, but I used to. And, if I couldn't harvest one with one shot, period, drop, gone, I'd quit.
Yeah.
And that's the way I felt. I don't want him to suffer. I don't want him to lay there and kick and holler and scream and carry on. Make one shot and drop him, and that's it.
Well, one of them had a broken off arrow in him. And, you know, that means he's been running around for a while with it in.
Probably. But long term, that deer isn't going to make it, probably.
No.
But hey, it's a problem.
Yeah, it's a problem.
Back east, they give them birth control shots.
How'd that work?
Well, you dart them and then you give them a shot.
I never did hear any more about it.
Well, they're still doing it in like Connecticut and, you know, Vermont, places like that.
Right.
But, you know, it ain't cheap. It's a lot cheaper to shoot them, but it's certainly be more humane to shoot them than turn loose the bow and arrow boys on them, unless they got some really good bow and arrow hunters, which they apparently don't.
I have to imagine that birth control for deer is an extremely expensive way to go.
You know it is. You know it is, because they got to. Of course, you know, the deer know that you're after them when you're out there to dart them.
Right.
So they're not going to just lay down and let you shoot them, you know.
Well, that stuff doesn't last forever unless you're giving them enough to burn their ovaries out. And if you're doing that, I'm not sure that doesn't have a lot of problems by itself also.
At least once a year,
yeah.
I would think, you know, I got to give them a shot. And
they'll be like the bass, Don. They'll figure out very quickly somebody's trying to get close enough to them to dart them. And I would think that would be a increasingly fruitless endeavor.
Well, that's not going to work with the preventing the bow hunters, because you can bow hunt out your back kitchen window and get the one in your backyard, you know.
Yeah.
And they're not going to be looking at the house windows. They're not looking for a hunter at the place they used to get fed.
No.
Well, speaking of hunting, how about the wolf hunt?
Yeah.
You know, well, what a catastrophe that was.
It was actually 3 days.
Yeah.
I got it right here in front of me. The Wisconsin DNR said non-native hunters had checked in 182 wolves at 3 p.m. last Wednesday. It started on Monday. When the state closed the season, the quota for non-native hunters was 119, and the tribes were also allocated 81 tags. So they could kill 119 wolves, but they only got 81 tags. I don't quite get that. And that was a treaty rights deal with the Indians. The total number harvested wolves was 216 in non-native zones, according to the Associated Press.
Wasn't no wolf hunting around here, was he?
No.
I didn't see any Indians.
No wolf hunting around here. Okay. Might be some bear hunting soon.
Yeah.
Well, listen to this. The DNR estimates there's 1,195 wolves, and they want to get it down to 350 on non-tribal reservation land.
Wow.
So they really want to get rid of these wolves. And again, it's not because they're causing depredations. The only thing cited in here was that they were eating a lot of deer and moose. So these wolves aren't causing any problems to the humans other than the deer hunters and the moose hunters. And I think that's a real poor reason to eliminate them again.
They're just taking their rightful place in the food chain with deer.
I suppose.
I thought was that they actually were a benefit to the herd because they'd take the sick ones and the old ones out.
Well, yeah, but they also take some that aren't sick and old.
True.
And the thing that's really aggravating about this whole business in Wisconsin is it wasn't the people in Wisconsin that got this done. This was a hunting group out of Kansas.
Yeah.
That filed the lawsuit up in Wisconsin to have this season, because the state didn't have a season last fall when they were supposed to, because it was still illegal. They were still on the endangered species list. So as soon as they got off the endangered species list, well, it's breeding time for the wolves, but they got to force them to hunt them anyway. And the natives said that, I've got a quote from one of those native groups here somewhere. Well, anyway, they say that, oh, here it is. This is the Great Lakes Indian Fish and Wildlife Commission. Native hunters have expressed disdain for the late winter hunt, citing it as especially wasteful and disrespectful because it kills the impregnated females that will not now replenish the population next fall when they, you know, the time next fall comes around, their pups should have been born. Well, they're not going to be born now. No. And so it is disrespectful. Now, everybody thinks that Biden's going to make this happen, but, you know, it's all tied up in the federal courts, and the federal courts have ruled again and again for them being on the endangered species list. This was just some local county court or something's appeals court up in Wisconsin that made this decision. So yeah. Until the feds get in line, we're going to see that probably in Michigan and Minnesota too, before too long. And it's really a shame because these animals aren't causing that much trouble. I mean, you know, they might kill some cow or some sheep. I have no doubt that they have, but they're not wreaking havoc on anybody's population up there. And it's just because these guys want a stuffed head to put on the wall or a whole stuffed wolf to put in their living room.
Sure.
And that doesn't have anything to do with hunting. That has everything to do with their ego. And that's a really poor reason to kill an animal like that. Sorry.
Well, here's what I don't understand is why would someone from Kansas have any legal status in Wisconsin? Normally, when states do that, the state that they're trying to sue tells them to go flip off.
Well, it wasn't the state. It was a group.
Right.
And
that's what I mean.
That probably has members in the state of Wisconsin.
Ah, okay. Well, there you go.
Yeah. That's how it would happen.
Okay.
I'm sure it did. Well, anyway, it's a disgusting situation. I'm sad about it.
Yeah, I think we all are. Did anybody see that notice that came in from up northern Indiana on the owl alert?
No.
Through one of the state announcement things. I just got it today talking about endangered and species at risk. Well, they're up in northern Indiana. They were having an alert for people to watch out for certain species of owl up there. I didn't read it completely, but it came through on my email this morning. I didn't have time to read it all, but didn't know if anybody else had seen that or not.
Well, they usually get a lot of different species of owl up there because a lot of the owls that are up in Canada come down. And the snowy owls in particular are ones that show up there.
Well, I have seen a lot of photographs from snowy owls on the internet recently, all over the place. It's been just really surprising.
Yeah, well, they're around. I used to see them up in Wisconsin. They hang out at the Archer Daniels Midlands grain elevators.
Sure.
Where there was all kinds of rats running around, you know.
Oh, so, yeah.
They cleaned up on those. And there was also a lot of ringneck pheasant around those grain elevators. So it was pretty much choice area. I'm sure it still is for snowy owls and other predatory birds. And speaking of predatory birds, I saw a Cooper's hawk fly across 446 right there where the Harley Davidson shop is.
Yeah.
You know, between there and the Kroger store the other day. And it just kind of blew my mind that here's a Cooper's hawk flying across there in the middle of all those cars and trucks and things. Nobody even noticed it, except me, probably. And, that's kind of nice to see, but I wish he had a better place to live.
Yeah, no kidding.
You know.
Well, it sure has been noisy here along the south side of the lake with chirping from cranes and from geese. It's been actually really loud outdoors here.
I was just going to say, I heard some coming by.
Went over the other day.
Yep.
Yeah.
A couple, 3 days ago, they flew over here. Boy, that was a big flock.
A couple hours ago, I was listening to them.
Yeah. made a lot of noise. And you know, the noise just echoes because there's no leaves now, and it just sounds, just filled the sky.
Well, they're also resting, you know, they've made resting areas all over southern Indiana now. Used to be the only place you really saw them was up at Jasper Pulaski. Well, these guys are all over the state now. There's a lot of sandhill cranes, a lot. And we know there's a lot of Canada geese. I mean, they're almost like part of the landscape anymore.
They are. And that's nice.
Yeah, I don't mind them. Of course, if you live someplace where they are, they leave their little green packages.
Well, I was going to say, if you're living where they're landing, that may be uncomfortable.
Has anybody talked to John or Dan or anybody?
I haven't heard from John in a while.
I haven't either. I wish he'd give me a call, him and Dan, either one. Both of them. I haven't talked to either one of them for a long time.
Yeah, please do, John.
Well, I haven't either. Yeah, we'd like to know how you are and how things are going on out there.
I don't have neither one of their phone numbers. And
I got a new phone, so I don't have his number either. I'd have called him.
So I don't. John, Dan, give me a call. By golly, I'd like to talk to you. Well, miss talking to him.
Well, we got about a minute and a half here, so anything else we need to cover?
No, I'm all talked out.
Well, spring's right around the corner, so everybody can get ready, get their garden, thinking about their garden, see what they're going to put in their garden. I had mine all plowed last fall, so I'm just ready to start tilling and planting if it gets dry enough.
Well, there's been a blizzard of seed catalogs come to this house, and
yeah, me too.
Yep, Mrs. Bronnenberg's been doing the planning, so I'm expecting the minute it turns warm, we'll be out.
You're gonna be busy.
Yep.
Well, it's time. Yeah, it's time for radishes.
Hearing talk of flowers and all that too.
Yep.
We got a lot of them too. We got several catalogs We generally get most of ours from Henry Fields, but once in a while we'll get them somewhere else.
But I'll tell you what, you only got to order something once or look like you're going to order, and man, I'll tell you, you'll never be without a catalog from them, that's for
sure. No,
try to find some white reddish seeds.
White reddish seeds?
Yeah.
Icicles or?
Yes, icicles. If you find some, let me know, will you?
Well, I
can't find them anywhere.
You can't? There's some. Well, did you try one of your local stores?
I did. No such thing.
No such thing. Well,
they're not even in the stores anymore. They used to sell them at Kroger's, you know. No way.
Well, hey, we got to say goodbye.
You just want the seed.
Right.
Okay.
I'll look down bedrock and see what I can find.
Okay, Bill.
All right. Well, we'll talk to you later. See you next week. Nice to see you guys.
Bye, everybody.
Everybody have a good week.
Have a good one.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, that's all we have time for today. Inside Outdoors comes to you from the beautiful rolling hills and green forests of southern Indiana. Thanks for listening. Inside Outdoors is brought to you each week on Saturday mornings at 7 a.m. right here on your local community radio station, WFHB. If you happen to miss the show, you can listen online at wfhb.org. Just go to the public affairs listing and you'll find a podcast of our show.